What we have so much in this episode. We see Vera as a mother. Harry burns down the house. They find Jane Doe in a purple lake. All of this. And where is Julian? Speaking of Julian, we have a very special guest in studios with us, but you have to stay to see who it is. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Love the song.
Yes, it's great.
Very cool.
I just want to let it ride.
It really actually ties in with the feel of the show really well, too.
Oh, this
like somehow,
perfect.
You know? Yeah.
It's so perfect.
How that worked out.
Hi, everyone. You are with AfterBuzz TV here at the Center After Show. We are talking Season 2, Episode 6, Part 6. And, you know, we have a very special guest. But before we get started, I want to introduce my lovely co-hosts.
Hey, everybody. Zia here.
Hey, everybody. Alice here. Super excited to talk about this episode and to our special guest.
Yes. Yay. Speaking of, I'm Takira Shabray, and the very special guest that we have in studios with us today is Elisha Hennig. Thank you so much for joining us. we have so much to talk about. We are talking about Vera as a mother. We're talking about Glenn Fisher and his knee deep into all of this. The dead body, the Julian is taken. I mean, like, so much to talk about. And of course, we'll have our very special segment, Killer Kids. But overall thoughts of this episode before we jump in.
I loved it because they finally started to explain some things to us and Vera opened up, which I was waiting for, and I'm really glad she did. And I'm starting to think that her taking care of Julian and her love for Julian is starting to overshadow her wanting to keep Mosswood secret. And I'm really happy that we're finally starting to see that.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I also really enjoyed that we saw Julian's character have a really, like, huge emotional range in this episode. You know, we saw him, you know, with some violence to himself in the beginning of the episode.
Oof,
and
that
ending of the episode was even crazier. So I'm excited to see where his character goes. And then there was just so many things that happened in this episode.
So
with
much.
Heather and Harry and everybody. Yeah. So it was a really great episode.
I feel like it was a lot of loose ends tied. So yeah, of course, again, we have Elisha here, and overall thoughts of the episode. I'm sure you loved it, right?
Yeah, it was a fun episode.
Nice.
I liked it, yeah.
Well, we'll get into your favorite part, and I'm so interested to hear it, but let's talk first part of the after show, just Vera as a mother. We see her kind of vulnerable, and she really, when she says she was with Julian from birth, I mean, she can't get any closer.
You could tell that she formed an immediate attachment to him when she was holding him. And my first thought was that Marin was going to die from the hemorrhaging.
Too.
And that's, that's what I originally thought was going to happen. And when they show her in the next scene, I was like, oh, okay, so she doesn't. So how does this happen? And then you realize she really has no interest in being a mother. And Vera forms this attachment to this beautiful little baby, and she's like, this baby is mine.
Yeah.
I don't think Marin really ever, you know, wanted to be in that situation. So I can understand why she was kind of not interested in taking on the mother role. Also, everything happened so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, here, take this.
I think she cared. It's just it's one of those things when she thought that she just wasn't good enough at it.
And well, yeah, because you can tell she's definitely bothered when she sees that Vera is breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, that's a weird thing.
And a lot of people might think that that's kind of weird that she would start lactating, but it's kind of common.
Yeah.
It's more common than people think.
I've heard that even men can do it, that men will start lactating.
Really?
Yeah.
A little interesting. I don't know.
I don't think that's incredibly common, but it does happen.
Yeah. It's common. There you go, people. We definitely saw, like, for me, I know Vera was a little bit more vulnerable last episode, a little tease of vulnerability in the last episode. In this episode, I think she really took us there, and we start to see her kind of going up against the beacon more. So who saw that coming. Like, she kind of took over.
Yeah, I honestly didn't see it happening that way. I didn't see that she was, I mean, for lack of a better term, the voice of reason here. Mm-hmm. She's talking to the Beacon and being like, we are going too far. It's getting violent. And she started to question all of his work. And it sucks because I know that it was hard for her for that because, as I believe it was in her words, he saved her. And now she has to reconcile with the fact that she doesn't, that she's starting to question his practices.
Yeah,
for sure. Well, yeah, and I think, you know, I was wondering the whole season, you know, like, what happened to the Beacon? Because he's obviously not around anymore.
Yeah.
So it's always been kind of a wonder of, like, did he leave? Did he run away? Did he go to start something new? Or is he in the Purple Lake? I don't know.
Well, yeah.
After this
ending.
So maybe
we found something else out, mm-hmm. you know.
It, well, she Vera kind of had me on edge. I do want to touch quickly on Julian and his kind of interaction with Vera, because we see him, her also have that connection, that interaction again at the end with Julian. So it starts with this amazing connection at the beginning of the episode. And then before we even, like, really touch on the Beacon, we start to see throughout the last couple of episodes, this connection is kind of weird. So I would like to ask you, Alicia. So Julian obviously has a really wide range connection with Vera. What was it like working with Carrie Coon with that connection?
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, throughout the course of the shooting, as we spent more time together, we got to know each other more and we became closer. And in the story, Julian is actually moving away from Vera. So it was sort of, the sort of
reverse.
Yeah. I love that shot they got of the baby looking at Vera. That was really amazing.
Yeah. The rock. Yeah. It looks so real life. Like, obviously it's a real life baby, but it's just like, I mean, down to the size, the detail, all of that. So that, really good call out.
So Alicia, do you keep up with the show? Do you watch it every week?
I watch it on a weekly basis, yes.
Awesome. And so,
just like the rest of us.
Just like the rest of us. So I'm sure you don't know all of the plot lines before you get to watch it being on set. Did you know what was going to happen when you finished shooting? Or is it still kind of a surprise for you as you're watching?
Well, by the time we finished shooting, I think... The thing was, when we were shooting certain episodes, I had a scope of what was going to happen in the next episodes and throughout the season, but I didn't have a very, very detailed, I didn't have the scripts in advance. Like, we got the script every week for the next episode.
Oh, wow.
So, it was a little bit of a challenge to shoot that without the, without such a clear picture of the character.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I think it worked out in the end. I don't think, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you did a phenomenal job. To get a script every week, could you imagine? Like, that you did a really good job.
I really loved also seeing you're playing a character in Alex Inc. to playing, because I'd watched that before I'd seen this show. And when I found out that you were in this show, I was like, oh, my gosh, because I was really excited to see you play such a different character. And it was really cool because you did such an amazing job. How were the processes different for you preparing for each role? Because they're so, obviously they're so different.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a drastic change. it's a very different, very different. I mean, it's almost different, a different job in a sense. I mean,
right.
You know, Alex Inc. is a comedy. It's trying to figure out how to make people laugh at the most you can with each line, and trying to figure out funny ways to do everything. With The Sinner, it was more of this arc of a character trying to get from episode 1 to episode 8 where the character goes, and trying to make that arc work and have it be believable and construct a character, you know, blossoming through 3 months three weeks? I don't know how long the series takes place over.
It's so much.
Well, yeah, you've done a phenomenal job, and I think, you know, everyone that watches it always has such praise for you as well when they are done watching every episode. So. Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We've
really enjoyed watching you on screen, too.
I want to kind of end our topic on Vera with her kind of taking charge. I guess we'll wrap Vera's character up, but her taking charge at the end with Beacon and possibly serving him an apology tea.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I know ears are going up like crazy. Yeah, this infamous, maybe infamous, I don't know, apology tea. I didn't like that she says, maybe I'm a stickler, but she told Ambrose, okay, I'm going to tell you everything. And then she says, and I just want to quote her because it just did not tie and I'm not buying it. But she said, I wish I'd stopped it sooner. And then she's pretending like, okay, I stopped it. And then Ambrose was like, okay, well, what happened to Beacon? And she's like, oh, he just wasn't happy with us and he just decided to go. Well, then what did you stop?
Well, and we still don't know what actually happened to Marin because obviously, you know, we both thought that after she gave birth that mm-hmm. We were like, oh, that's how she died. Okay. But then we see her again.
And she pops out of nowhere. Minutes,
she's like, oh, hi, I'm here and I don't want to breastfeed. So.
Yeah. And we don't even know. And we don't even know who the Jane Doe is. I know a lot of us are hopping to the clues that's of right. It possibly being Marin, so hasn't confirmed it, but
it could be some other mysterious Carmen Bell types that you never know. Unaccounted mm-hmm. for.
There was a lot about that, but Carmen is an amazing topic to get to. Before we do, though, we have a very a small favor to ask of you here, the AfterBuzz family. I think Zia has a little bit to explain.
Ooh, yes. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces aftershows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you. And you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. You can turn them off. It's amazing. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes, yes. Yay. We love you guys. You are like our extended panel. So the topics, the questions, the comments, we love it. We welcome it. Bring it on. Thank you guys. But you said there could be possible more Marins in the Purple Lake.
That's right.
Speaking of more Marins, like, we learned more about what these women went through. Like, Carmen gave in her deposition that it was sexually assaulted. She was sexually assaulted, physically assaulted, I'm sure emotional. And this Glenn Fisher character.
Yes, the plot thickens with him.
The plot thickens. So the whole, oh, I wasn't a member, I was there a couple of times. We learn more about this this guy. What do y'all think?
We learn that he's there from the beginning.
Like you said.
Mm-hmm, and that his grandfather sold him that land. Did his mm-hmm. grandfather sell him that land to be helpful because he was also in on the work that they're doing?
Yeah.
And possibly he had started there as a young kid, maybe even.
Yeah.
Because if it was his grandfather that sold him that land... You know, we don't know when exactly that timeline is, but he could have been a young man or even a teenager when that happened.
Well, Glenn says, I sold him, meaning the Beacon, I sold him this land.
Right.
So, Glenn sold the land, supposedly, to the Beacon.
Yes.
But how surprised, I mean, we see the burns on, I made a really interesting note on body parts in this. I mean, I know I spoke on Julian's arm the last mm-hmm. episode. We see burns on the feet of mm-hmm. a couple of the women, Carmen included, and the prostitute, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But were those cigarette burns?
There were cigarette burns,
okay, yeah.
That's
what it looks like.
So supposedly at some point, maybe this is Glenn's... treadmark? Do you even call it a treadmark? I don't know what you would call it, but
like a calling card.
Yeah. So what do you guys think that those mean?
Well, I'm wondering if that is something that happened to him when he was a kid. Maybe he grew up in an abusive home. Oh. And so he has that, I want to see his foot now. Mm-hmm. The pattern is on his foot, and maybe he keeps repeating it.
Yeah.
As part of his working through his trauma, but he's doing it to other people.
Yeah. We get a clear definition on that because Carmen says we act out what we've been through, mm-hmm. not fantasy. Because Vera said Bess's, whole thing about Julian crying and covering his mouth and all of that, that it was a, quote, fantasy during the session. But we realized Carmen kind of sheds light on it being what we went through. We're just reenacting it.
Right, and that's even what Vera says. She's like, it used to be fantasy, and now it's literal. And yeah. That is dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what with Glenn Fisher... You know, because he obviously liked the beacon. So if all of a sudden the beacon disappeared, I'm just wondering what happened in that time frame. Like, what would he have done? Exactly. And how is he now not talking about the beacon not being there and he's okay with Vera? So that's something that I'm interested to see in the next.
Pretending to not know Marin, Marin, because right. The beacon specifically told Vera, hey, I want Marin to spend time with Glenn Fisher. And my only, final note on him was we were under the impression that you had to be a member of Mosswood in order to do sessions. Glenn is clearly kind of breaking those rules and bringing other people involved. Even when he was talking to Vera and he said, I brought, where's the beacon? I brought people. I told him there was a session and I brought people. But these people are clearly not members of Mosslid. And so that could explain the connection that they have in the city and the blackmail possibilities that these people could have.
Well, yeah, you wonder if the DA's ever been there.
Yeah, and the chief and all this other stuff. So
what I want to know is if he's there and if he's an inside person at Mosswood, why was he trying to try Julian as an adult? Do they have something against him?
I'm sure. They had maybe Julian is, we love his character. He's our favorite.
maybe he was the demise of the beacon.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But
the beacon has some crazy grudge against him. I don't think he's alive though.
No, yeah, I'm interested. I asked for some predictions in live chat. So if you're joining us in live chat, there's a few of you. Thank you for watching. We appreciate it. Drop your predictions. We'll get to those at the end of this after show. Let us know what you think. Where's Marin? Where's Beacon? Where's everybody at this point? Where's Julian? Where's everybody? And what do you think happened? But we are on iTunes as well. So listen on iTunes. Drop us a review. 5 stars, because, 1 through 4 just don't work sometimes. A little glitchy son of a guns. But let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to talk about. jumping to Jane Doe and the Purple Lake. I know we briefly touched on it. Any other thoughts on that? I mean, you guys think it's Marin?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's Marin, and if it's not Marin, then it's just another... They're going to uncover that there's, other women that were at Mosswood. That maybe got pregnant and then tried to escape.
Just toss them. How weird is it that the beacon just kind of swims there like it's a summertime vacation spot?
Right.
With dead bodies.
It also made me feel like Glenn Fisher is actually the father of maybe some of these babies.
Oh.
Maybe Julian and or maybe the baby that would have been in Carmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think someone else, which is really strange, but I'm going to hold mine.
Prediction for later.
I was honestly thinking when they were searching the lake that they were going to find the beacon's body.
Yeah, I did too.
That's what I was expecting.
I did too.
Especially after the story where the tea, I was like, oh, okay, so they're going to find his body.
Right. Nope. Just, just causing more whereabouts on people. I do like that Heather invited Ambrose, though, back kind of into the semicircle. I call it semi because, it could always change.
Well, that was such a big point of this episode, I felt like, because at the end of the last one, we saw that Harry was basically, kicked out. And then this one opens and he's investigating still. But obviously, I was like, oh, he's up to his old, still investigating, even though nobody wants him to be investigating.
Yeah.
But then everyone was just kind of like, yeah, it's cool. No one is mad.
Right?
And I was like, oh, okay. Because everyone changed their mind.
I feel like they didn't want to admit how much they needed him. Yeah. And when Heather got the video, she was thinking, oh, crap.
Yeah. And he got the video by breaking the rules, which yes. we know Harry likes to do. This whole breaking and entering thing is just all his. Like, you know, that's his thing. Right. But he always gets something good. So it's kind of like, you can't really get him in trouble because it's what's leading to the case. Robins, well, we'll wrap up on Harry before we talk a little bit more with Alicia about his character.
I just have one more thing, and maybe this should be saved for predictions, but I just wanted to talk about who you thought took Julian out of the bedroom window.
That is predictions. Are okay, you serious? We are not talking about that right now.
Look, I want to get into it now.
We'll save that treasure right before we talk to, you know, Alicia about his character. We'll save that treasure. I don't know. What do you guys think? You know, we're eager to talk about it for sure.
Yeah, so if you have a thought, tell us in the chat.
Chat it up. Shout out to What's Up Young Pro. The couple people I can't see or pronounce. My computer is frozen, but I see the hearts from the last one. So, hey, and hey to everyone else that's watching.
Yes, we've got a bad internet in here today, so.
Yeah, our Wi-Fi is, like, ridiculously slow. Let's wrap up on Harry, though. We finally see what happened, the big moment. And we finally find out about his mom, Rosemary. Mm-hmm. Confirmation she died. Mm-hmm. He sees all of these. Obviously, we think the DA has somebody watching Harry, taking pictures, tracking him down, whoever at this point. She's dead. We find out he burned down the mm-hmm. house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this How has been crazy. Like the whole season. We've been waiting to get more information, and he was just tricking himself in his mind the entire time and making it seem like his mom was the one that did it all. Yeah.
When it was really him. And you know what, though? It honestly, for me, is really hard to blame the poor kid. When you have a parent like that that's not parenting you at all, he needed something. Mm-hmm. Apparently she was either quiet, like we see her in his flashbacks, which means he's getting absolutely nothing from her. Yeah. Or he just kind of alluded to the fact that she was exploding. So I think that, in a way, that was his sort of cry for help. Of get me out of here. Get me someone. Get me something. Anything. I'm getting nothing here. So it's hard to get... I can't be mad at him. What else does it... He was very young there. What else would you do in that situation when all you have is that woman? And that's not much.
Yeah. And definitely not to... how do you say, like, condone anything that he did?
Well, obviously, of course not. Don't set anything on fire.
I don't want to condone that.
In the television show.
Yeah. But a lot of kids, that happens a lot of cases. I mean, I think Harry touched on it best when he said, Julian, yes, he did these things. But most of the time when kids do these things, there's some kind of connection. Not condoning what they do, but so many kids, I feel like, face that issue. Like, some of my friends were like, I was a bad kid just because I wanted someone to pay attention to me. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not right, but it's an issue that I feel like a lot of people don't talk about. Like, they always blame the parents on, you know, how bad they raised the kids, or they blame the kid for just being crazy, or maybe he or she has a mental disorder.
Did you ever do anything that your parents got really mad about like that?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I can't recall.
I never set anything on fire.
Yeah. Not arson, sorry.
I don't know.
But, you know.
I did some firecrackers one time. I tried to blow up a wood truck. But my mom helped, so I figured it would help.
So you just wanted a little attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that connection that he has with Julian at the end, you know, bleeding into Julian and wrapping up our topics. Julian is the one that he chooses to tell his truth about. Because he's literally looking in the mirror just a few years previous. I love this connection. I absolutely loved it. What about you guys?
Oh, yeah. I love more and more that Julian is starting to trust Harry. And also, he's getting stuff done for him. Because as we find out, it wasn't Vera that got him out of the juvenile detention center. It was Harry. And he's learning to trust him more and more, and for good reason. And I like that, because I think that he's the one that's truly going to come through for him. Yeah. Not that Vera doesn't care. I just think she doesn't know how to go about it properly. Mm-hmm. And Harry has maybe more connections.
Now we're seeing finally Harry's hard work kind of paying off with their relationship actually kind of being a little bit more cemented. So, I enjoyed it too.
And then we, of course, wrap up with, where the heck is Julian? What happened? Harry tried to give him this amazing, like, feedback. Like, you know what? Maybe it's guilt. And you just need to stare guilt in the face. And poor Julian tries to stare guilt in the face. And it's, you know, guilt just takes him. So, what the heck? I tried to freeze. I don't know if anybody else. I tried to, like, stop my DVR on the face, like, eight times.
I have a prediction on that, but I'll wait.
Ooh, okay, nice. But did anyone see it coming? I had no idea. I never saw this coming.
No, I did not think he was real at all. And also, I'm sorry, but what if he's staying at a boy's home or with a... How can the window... Yeah, how can the window be opened that easily from the outside? He's awaiting trial. He's not saying he should be on complete lockdown, but, like, let's at least make sure you can't open the window.
Well, yeah, you know, he went back to foster care. I guess that's a good point.
But. Well, yeah, I can't remember if it was episode 3 or 4, but we heard Julian talking to, I guess it was Harry, saying that the dreams that I have, but then I remember waking up and... You know, and Vera saying that, like, people had come into the house to take whatever. So
it's like the second intent.
One where I was like, okay, that wasn't a dream, that was real. Mm-hmm. So I guess I wasn't as surprised as you guys.
Okay. But. Well, yeah, I could definitely see that. So Alicia, we want to talk to you a little bit about this character. Like, obviously the ending was so terrifying to, we feel like, Julian. Mm-hmm. Was this scene, was it your favorite? Was it most frightening? Like, what was your most favorite frightening scene of the entire show?
I think this one's definitely up there. I got chills when I watched it with that music at the end.
Ooh,
like, there. It was a fun scene to shoot, also. You know, one of those sort of physical scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might.
Did it stick with you? Like, the feeling? Did you find yourself looking over your shoulder in real life?
No, not so much.
No,
only as Julian.
You're tougher than I am. I would have been freaking myself out, going grocery shopping or something.
Is it very different to shoot? Because you shoot and it's definitely a lot of work going to shooting it. Is it really different between shooting it and seeing the finished product?
Yeah, it's very different. It's you make 3 films, as somebody said once. I don't remember who. The one you write, the one you shoot, and the one you edit. It changes completely.
Are there like parts that you shot that get cut out and you're like, hey, I remember shooting that. That's not in here.
There's been a couple. Not so many this show. A couple that I can't think off the top of my head.
From other projects.
A couple.
Do you
know,
have
like,
a...
They have a time constraint on TV. They have to make it, you know, 45 minutes, so.
Right.
Do you have a favorite scene that you shot in the episodes that we've already watched?
A favorite scene that I shot? One of the funnest to shoot.
There's so many.
Yeah.
Maybe like the very first one. What was that like? I mean,
death scene was, well, it's interesting. We shot it over, the whole first sequence was shot over a period of like 4 or 5 days, I think.
And, oh, wow, you know, that's fast.
So it's, they were separated. So the,
the jimson weed and the flower, the tea.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
The death scene was messy. Punished it as messy, yeah.
Nice.
Is that your first time with that much?
She ordered the vomit. She ordered it for lunch. It was chai oatmeal.
Oh, gosh. That's ordered, ordered. Yeah. What is that, Postmate? Postmate vomit?
She ate her vomit.
Gross. Nice. At least it didn't taste too bad for her.
I know, right?
Sounds like it's not that bad.
At the end of this episode, obviously, like, Julian and Harry have a connection. I know you mentioned how it was working with Carrie. What was it like working with Bill Pullman?
Oh, that's amazing working with Bill Pullman. I mean, there's so much to learn from him every day. Is just watching him is and you know, working with him and connecting with him in the scene is something. It's a nice experience.
Oh wow! Awesome.
In the end, there when our hands touch, it was actually something that just came on the spur of the moment. That wasn't scripted.
Ooh,
just out of the emotions of the scene, I reached over and took his hand.
I love that they kept that. I would never have known. That worked perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that just shows what kind of actor that you both are, like actors. You are. You're so. That's what it's about. That's the
instinct.
Yeah, instinct, the character, the chemistry. So, that's really nice.
Now, do you have a favorite actor and actress that you've looked up to since you started?
Favorite actor and actress.
Not to drill them down into the spot.
I mean, I like Daniel Day-Lewis a lot.
Awesome. Very cool.
I've seen a lot of his stuff, but... Emma Stone.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you say was
Colin Firth? Also,
Colin Firth is great. Yes.
What would you say is your favorite thing about playing Julian, and maybe the most challenging?
Favorite thing about playing Julian. Let me start with the most challenging. I'll think about it for the most challenging thing, I think, was shooting the scenes out of order. So even within every episode, so we shoot every episode, takes 2 weeks to shoot an episode, you're not shooting the scenes chronologically. So you might shoot the end of the episode the first day and the beginning of the episode the last day. And so it's hard to keep in your mind what are the circumstances of what you're performing, like what happened before, what's gonna happen, what's your state of mind in that scene. So you have to remember where you are in the script. Favorite thing about playing Julian. it's really acting with other actors. I mean, you know, all of them are great. Carrie and Bill and Ian. Yeah. I don't want to spoil, but there's numerous.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
So, you know, acting with each actor is a totally different experience, and it's something new and exciting every time. And,
wow. Yeah.
That's great. Now, can we expect to see more of you on any other shows coming up?
Not right now, no. There's nothing... nothing in the works at this point, but
you're basking in the ambiance of something amazing right yes. now. So, you know, why not? No, it's something I've always. Maybe I'm not the only one. Something I've always wondered about actors your age. Like, are you homeschooled? Do you go to school now? How do you balance it? Friends, all of this, like regular day life. How does that work?
Yeah, and I'm still trying to figure out that question myself. Right now I'm homeschooled. I've been homeschooled for a lot of my life. But occasionally I go to school mainly for social reasons, because, you know.
You need friends.
To people. Everybody's in school, so. But yeah, and when I do go to school, I usually go part-time if they allow it. Cool. Which is... bit of a fight sometimes.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I also read that you're really into sports, that you play soccer and you like rock climbing. And are there any other sports that you do? Golf?
Oh, yeah. Golfer.
Awesome.
Nice. Do you do that? Is that your special hobby outside of acting? I know I saw some pretty interesting, I love them, parodies, musical parodies. I just say, big fan. I love that you're so into music.
Which one are you talking about?
My favorite was the, I think it was featured Bruno Mars, and it sounded like mystical. Right? So, yes! I'm like, look at him with the drums and the guitar. He has his chain just rapping his thing. Like, I mean, you killed it. Fun, yeah. You have a band with your... Like,
15 minutes before we left for the airport, really last minute, but that was fun.
Nice. You ended with the brother.
Oh, yeah. I like playing music a lot, guitar and, reading and writing and cooking.
Ooh, impressive. Okay, two quick ones then. What do you write and what do you cook?
What do I write and what do I cook? I like to write a lot of poems, mainly scripts in terms of, I write mainly screenplays.
Wow.
Short films.
That's like that. Awesome.
Jack of all trades.
I cook. I'm a big dessert guy.
Oh, me too. Same. Us too. Bring some to the studio for us.
And tiramisu is one of my specialties.
Ooh. You cook a tiramisu?
That's my favorite dessert.
Okay, we're going to have to make a little trip to Oregon and, celebratory tiramisu to end the season.
That's right.
Yeah. I also recently read an interview that you love to make people laugh. Do you ever see yourself branching out from acting into maybe stand-up or other sort of forms of comedy?
Yeah, stand-up makes me nervous. The thought of it.
I don't blame you.
With everything you've accomplished.
If I work up the guts, maybe. I like comedy. I mean, I think really the reason I set out to do acting is I like to entertain people and to make people laugh is really the start of it. It's come a bit of a long way from that, but a bit distance. But that's the origin.
Do you have a preference on roles that you like to take, or do you just kind of like to just anything that you can sort of try out?
Right now I'm trying to get into sort of the indie movie world. Which there is less of. Is there's not a lot of roles for kids to begin with, but certainly not a lot in movies. But I think generally branching towards the more serious side of things. Although comedy would be nice, maybe after the cinema,
break it up a little bit.
Yeah,
you do an amazing job with emotions. I mean, even as Julian. I mean, you, like, range from emotions, I guess, and we'll keep you. I know we're probably keeping you, but I would just say kind of a last question tying back to the center, like, especially this episode. There's so many emotions, and I know you said Mr. Pullman was kind of an aid to help you. Were there any other actors that you kind of channeled or emulated just to kind of connect to that emotion with Julian
from the center or
yeah from like... the center or well no just I guess in gen any actor in general but I guess to channel that emotion that Julian has in the center that's a dumb one huh, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, in some scenes it's more about channeling or connecting with the other person in the scene and feeding off of their energy.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Julian's scenes are sort of alone. There's a lot of scenes with him, just him, and in isolation or in prison or whatever there is. That stuff tends to come more from inside, from sort of getting into the mood. Don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. I mean, that's amazing that you feed off of that energy. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, we love talking with you. You are more than welcome to stay with us. We have two things we're going to wrap up the show with. It's our Killer Kid segment and our predictions.
Killer Kid.
But.
Oh, yeah. So you might want to stay and listen to this because it's always pretty good.
All right.
Yeah. So our Killer Kid segment. What do you have for this week?
All right, so...
Let the music in.
This week on Killer Kids. So we went back in time this week, and up on the screen I've got a picture of... This is Jesse Pomeroy. He was born in 1859 in Charlestown, Massachusetts. And it's not very evident in this photo, but he actually had a defect in his right eye, which would make his right eye... basically like covered in mucus all the time. So it looked like he had like just like a white eyeball on one side. So he really scared people and he was bullied. But in 1874, he actually captured four young boys and then he chopped them up and mutilated them and then just tried to get rid of the bodies. He was later caught, but he was sent instead of being sent to prison because he was only 11 years old when this happened. So instead of being sent to prison, he was actually sent to reform school. And this happened in South Boston as well. And then reform school, they were supposed to keep him for 6 years. But his mother apparently was able to pull some strings and they released him after 6 months. And then when he was released, he went on to then kill a four-year-old boy and also a young girl who he slit their throats ear to ear, stabbed them multiple times, and then set one of them on fire.
Okay, where is this guy now? Like, I mean, obviously this is a long time ago. But wow.
So he was tried and convicted. After that, he actually was just questioned by police. I think he admitted killing them, and he was sentenced to death. But the governor of Massachusetts at the time felt bad for him and decided that he would just give him a life sentence. So the photo that we had up on the screen was actually him when he committed the crimes and then him later after he was released from solitary confinement, which he spent most of his life in.
Wow. All
right. This segment, Killer Kid Turned Killer Adult. Well, thank you for that. Alice always comes with the good stuff, that's the right. Killer Kid segment. We are going to end the show on our favorite part, predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Now, I know Elisha cannot share anything good, but he can definitely kind of listen to us babble about all of our crazy theories. Who wants to kick it off?
I'll go first. Okay, so I actually think that Glenn Fisher is the one that came in the window and took Julian.
What?
Oh.
I didn't think about that. Yeah. That's good.
So that's my prediction for that. And I think we're going to maybe find out what happened to the beacon in the next episode as well.
Ooh, okay.
I think that Vera did kill the beacon. Unless, my only thought on this is that she definitely meant to, unless he maybe saw it coming from her and didn't drink the tea. And then did in fact leave. And if that's the case, then I think that he was the one that took Julian. If he did die, I think that it's everybody, and I think that he doesn't like to talk about Moss, why can't I think of his name Mosswood? All of a sudden? No, Glenn Fisher didn't want to talk about Mosswood because of everything that happened with Vera taking over, and that's why he's trying to now get him and the DA are trying to get Julian tried as an adult.
Yeah, I ditto on all of that. I think Glenn bringing people got way too ugly, way too quick. I think because of that, you know when Carmen was like, oh, this guy burned me, that he did this, I don't know his name. So my infamous, I said I was going to wait, moment was, she made it a point to say, and there was this other guy, and then blah, 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 blah. She just skated past it.
Right.
My theory, I don't trust Heather's dad.
Oh.
I don't trust Heather's dad. I think he somehow has something to do with it. I think maybe, even though he said he hadn't joined Mosslet or had a chance to visit whatever, I don't trust his want to always feed people. And then my mind was like, okay, Vera fed the tea to the beacon. Julia knows about feeding people. Like, what is it about Heather's dad about feeding people? And then what really stood out to me was the beacon was talking about, I think, Bess or Marin. I'll go back in my notes. But the beacon said, oh, Bess. Whenever Bess had that injury on her leg, and Vera approached the beacon about it, the beacon said, well, Bess needed that as much as he did. And that's exactly what Heather's dad said to her about Marin. It's like, oh, Maren needed that. Maren needed that. Talking about going to Mosslet.
Yeah.
So I just don't trust. So that's my thing on him. And Vera, maybe she stares at the end. She stares at the barn like she's about to burn it down or something.
Mm-hmm.
You picked that up too, right?
I did, yeah.
I thought she was going to burn it down.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's just a few of mine. I had a few, but, you know, I think we'll start to learn a couple. And I can't wait till next episode. So
me neither.
Yeah. I love the comments, the predictions, all of that in the comments from last week. I love reading them. I'm so entertained. So drop them. We love them. Continue to do so. But that is pretty much all for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. But to continue the conversation, where can they find you, ladies?
Oh, you guys can find me on Twitter at Alice L. Ford or Instagram, Facebook, and everywhere else at Alice's Adventures on Earth.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Xia_land. It's XIA_land.
And you can find me, Takira Shabre, on Twitter and Instagram at Takira_Shabre. And Mr. Elisha Henning, where can they find you?
Find me if you want to on Instagram at Elisha Henning.
All right.
That is ELISHA HENID. And on Twitter, Elisha_Henning.
All right.
Fantastic.
And continue to drop questions. He tweeted and put on Instagram some cool questions that I know we probably didn't have time to get to, but continue to hand them up, comment. We'll look at those too. But for now, thank you so much, Elisha. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And all of our viewers, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.